Well, I retitled the sermon once I wrote it. Sometimes that happens. So it used to be Huge Holy Family, which I thought was catchy, but it's not really what I'm talking about this morning. So I renamed it Family Prayer, and I think you'll see why as we get into it. The very first thing that is said in our scripture reading today is for this reason. If you were here last week, I talked about that a little bit, because at the beginning of Ephesians 3, Paul started writing for this reason, and then he interrupted himself. And my suggestion was, as soon as he started thinking about what the reason was for what he was about to say, like I do sometimes, he got sidetracked and wanted to just explain all this stuff that he was excited about related to the reason. And then finally, today, he comes back and starts over again with what he was going to do, which is pray. Pray for these people to whom he's writing the letter. Pray for the people of Jewish and non-Jewish ancestry that have come to God through Christ. He wants to offer a prayer to the Father. So he says again, for this reason, and then launches into a prayer. I want to remind you what the reason is that sets all this up. It's why he got so distracted last week and went down kind of an important but a side trail. And that's why he's praying today in today's text. The reason, the thing he's talking about, is this news that God loves the world, not just his own Jewish people. God is not just the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and of their descendants, but in fact, the message is that God has loved the world. Just to remind you, in the beginning, God created man and woman in his image. They lived in the Garden of Eden, and after some period of time, they disobeyed. They went against God's word and against God's will. We call that the fall. And as I like to put it, we collectively as humanity turned away from God, but God did not turn away from us. And this reason that is motivating Paul to write this letter that's gotten Paul all excited, that gets me all excited, is that the story of the Bible, the good news, is that God has not only not turned away from us then or you and me now, but that God has come after us, right? God pursues us. And the whole story of this Bible is the story of God's loving pursuit of us. And it starts with this family and this people, Abraham and his children. But even then, God promises, I'm going to use you, Abraham, and your family in a special way so that I can reach the whole world and invite them back to me. You are part of my pursuit of the world. And so by the time Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, to some Greeks in the New Testament, that plan is unfolding, and the news is what God promised long ago to pursue the whole world, he is now done in Christ. And listen, you Ephesians, you Greeks, God's coming for you. Not to hunt you down or punish you, but to love you, to say, come into my family, come through Jesus and be a part of what I'm doing. And we've talked in recent weeks about some metaphors to understand that. One is family. Through Christ, when we come to God, we are made part of God's family. We become not only sons and daughters of God, but heirs, inheritors of God's gift, God's riches of grace. We become citizens of heaven. God is our King. Jesus is our Lord. We are governed by God's good laws and God's good word to us. We become holy temples that God is building up to witness to himself in the world. All those, as we've been moving through Ephesians, we've seen this is what God does when he wraps his arms around us and brings us home. So Paul has been speaking all this theology, all this truth to the Greek people in Ephesus, and he comes to chapter 3, and he's about to wrap up. So he says, for this reason, all this that I've been talking about, that God has come after you and invited you into his home, his family, his kingdom, his temple. You belong to God, and this is what it looks like. He says, for this reason, he gets distracted for a minute, and then in today's passage, he comes back, and he's going to start to pray. And so I want to walk through that prayer that's in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14, and then I'll do one more thing after that. So in verse 14, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. It's the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So this is who he's addressing this prayer to. It's God the Father, not just his Father, but it's this theme of God the Creator who created man and woman in his image. He is the Father of all humanity, all the earth. That's who he's addressing his prayer to, the one and only God of all. God of creation. That's why I started with huge holy family. But as it unfolds, I realize the focus is a little bit more on the prayer. So he's going to name really four things in this prayer that he prays for the Ephesians. And because we are also part of the world that God loves, these are things that Paul would be praying for you. So he prays to the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Number one, so there's three more things. That's the first, is he's praying to God. He prays for spiritual power, and this is how he words that. He says, I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. So when I say spiritual power, it's power through God's Spirit with us to be strengthened, to have courage and power and strength. I don't know about you. Some days I feel capable. I can do what's in front of me. Many days I feel like I'm in over my head. Some days I feel completely helpless. This prayer is that we would know that we are not alone. We are accompanied. We are filled as people who trust in Christ with the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of power. And Paul's prayer is that we will know this, that we'll experience this spiritual power and presence of God in our life. You're always safe praying that prayer. And I have, as much as you, I have been through days and weeks and months of feeling disconnected with God. This is a great prayer to pray. God, you have promised to leave your Spirit with me. Would you strengthen me again with the power of your Spirit in my life? The second thing he prays for is that the way I would word it. Well, let me read what he says first. In verse 17, he prays this so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The way I would word that is that we would experience Jesus through faith. Right? It's already, God says it's a reality. If you've trusted in Christ, he is in you, with you. And he won't abandon you. The problem is, so much of the time, I turn away from that. I close my eyes to that. And my complaint then is, I don't feel it. Right? I don't experience God in my life. And yet God says it's true. Jesus is with me, but I don't feel it. So this prayer, I think, is the prayer that we would experience Jesus with us and in us. That word dwelling, making a home in my life, in my heart. And the little bit that's here that you sometimes don't see elsewhere is that it's through faith. That's how we engage and have that experience, that feeling, is to trust God at his word that Christ is with us. And I think the sequence is important. The first thing is to pray for spiritual power, that Holy Spirit that tunes me in to God in my life. And then the second prayer is that I will experience God in my life through Jesus Christ. And there's a third thing, and I don't know that this has to be in order, is that we would experience Jesus in and through love. And this is what Megan was talking about in the children's message. So that being rooted and grounded in love, we might, two things, comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love, and we would know the love of Christ. So we would understand it, and we would experience it. This is Paul's prayer for you and for me. It's one I've prayed for myself. It's one I've prayed for you. Because you've come to me and said, I believe it's all true, but I don't feel it. How do you touch it? How do you experience God in your life? How do you feel the presence and the power and the love of God? And disclaimer, Paul's not explaining it here. He's praying it for you. And I think that's the first answer. It's you don't go to a class and figure out how to experience it. You ask God. It's a gift of God. So this last bit, he's praying that we would first understand, and I don't know that we can, but just the full magnitude of God's love, all those dimensions, height, breadth, length. And remember, this is in the context of he's been writing this letter about how big the love of God is. His prayer now as he starts to wrap up this teaching section is to say, and I pray that you'll know that you'll understand it, and then that you will experience it. So I'm writing this sermon this week, tooling along, kind of let me just define each verse and kind of say what's going on there. And I pause right at this point, and I realize the thing that I'm so prone to overlook, and that this is not a Sunday school lesson, this bit from Paul that we're looking at today. The point of this isn't to take notes on what does spiritual power mean, what does experiencing Jesus through faith mean, what exactly is the love of God, and what are the different dimensions, right? What's going on here is Paul is actually praying for people that God loves. And so I caught myself before going on, because I think the way that you study the Bible and experience God's word is not just to turn it into a class of let me understand all the bits, but it's to let it speak into our life. So I want to do something a little different than I usually do in a sermon, and that's to pause, and I want to pray for you. I think if Paul were here, this part, he would have said, let's bow our heads as he walked through this, because he's praying it. He's not teaching it. He's praying it. So what I'd like to do is just, I'm going to address a prayer to God the Father and just pray for these three things for you and me, included with you. And I'm just going to pause after each one and give you some silent prayer time, if you would like to add your prayers to that. And then we'll look at the last verse of this. But would you bow your head and your heart with me? Heavenly Father, you have indeed loved us with a great love. You have reached towards us and moved towards us even when we have and do turn away. And we thank you for that. And so to you, Father of this holy family you have called together, I would pray for myself. I would pray for these brothers and sisters, and even folks I don't know yet. I would pray for spiritual power, that your Holy Spirit would, as you say it will, fill each of our lives, that we would not rest on our own strength, our own power, our own knowledge, our own wisdom, but trust in you, in your presence, and your power in our life. Lord, would you hear our silent prayers in these moments? And Father, I pray for this dear family of people you have gathered into this place, people of different ages and different races and different backgrounds, different stories, who you have called sons and daughters, and whom we call brothers and sisters. And Father, I pray for each of us where we are this day in our experience of you. Pray that you would grant us, through faith, an experience of Jesus in our life, that we would, as we acknowledge him, Savior and Lord, we would experience him dwelling in us, him making a home in our life. Help us to see what that looks like, to open our own home, to be an open house to Christ in our life. We may have to clean up some spaces. We may have to open some doors. But Lord, I invite you into the house that is my life. And I pray for each person here that we would experience Jesus dwelling in us. Would you hear now our silent prayers? And finally, Lord, we hear and we read about how great your love is for humanity, and that means how great your love is for us. Would you show us just a glimpse of the height and the breadth and the width and the depth of that love that pursues each one of us patiently, persistently, mercifully, kindly? Would you help us both to understand a bit of it, and also to know it, to experience it, to realize in the depth of our being, I am loved by a good, good Father. I am known fully, and despite that, I am loved. Lord, would you hear our silent prayers that we might experience your love? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now there's one last bit in this, in verse 20, that I think is a kind of a benediction, or a, you know, an end to the prayer. And it goes like this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, we just prayed for that, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So I don't know what came to your mind as I was praying, as Paul prays, or as you offered your own prayers to God, but what Paul adds to his prayer at the end here is, this is the God who can and does do even more than we can think of to ask, than we can even imagine. God is that much more powerful than our deepest needs and longings and dreams. God can do that and more. And this acknowledges that Holy Spirit granting us power in our lives. It's to that God working through that Holy Spirit that he ends this prayer. And I only want to highlight this because at the end of all that asking for things, this is the last word. It's to God be the glory. Right? I am guilty of praying prayers that are just a list, like a grocery list of this is what I need. Or on a good day, this is what other people need. God, would you help them? But if we really grasp the power of God to do more than that, more than we can imagine, if we truly even get a bit of how big God's love is, this is the clear last word, right? And after all the asking, and God says, ask. I'm your good father. Ask, ask. But at the end, if we realize who it is we're asking, the last word rightly is glory to God. God is good. Glory to God forever. God is worthy of our love and our attention and our response back. I'm going to use this again as the benediction at the end of the service, but this is a great way to end a prayer. Because it's not Santa Claus that we are sending a letter to. It's not our favorite uncle who likes to give us good gifts on our birthday. This is the God who formed the world, who has not ever turned away from us, who has come after us in love, in power, through his son Jesus. That's the one that we're praying to. That's the one I just prayed to for you and for me, that we would know his power and his presence and his love in our life. Glory to God. In just a little bit after our prayers of confession and our offering, our closing hymn indeed is going to be glory to God forever. And I appreciate and I love the fact that Paul ends up here. I like the way he thinks. He's moved by the story of what God has done for us. So with him, I say glory to God forever. Amen.